Right now it is time for This Week in the Lakeville Journal, a time where we take a look at the pages of the Lakeville Journal and see the stories that they're covering. In the center studio we have Cynthia Hoswinder. Good morning, Cynthia.
Hello, it's just me this week, all alone.
It's just you all alone?
Yeah. Oh, no.
It's just me alone.
No Janet.
No Janet. No Ann. No Alex.
It is the CH show. MSNBC has KCDC, so we'll have Cynthia.
Morning C.
Morning C.
There you go.
Okay. And not to keep talking about Halloween, but people, we've been doing the survey, and thank you to, we have hundreds of answers, so thank you. And one thing people ask about a lot is they have a sense of nostalgia about the old Halloween here. And so I went back, because our archives are all online, you can find them at our website. I went back and I looked at some old Halloween issues, and it's more like the way that you remember it, where like the stories are not like, oh, there were so many cute kids. It was more like, well, it wasn't too bad this year. They just broke all the windows at the D.M. Hunt Library. That's not so bad.
It was much more about the mischief.
Yeah. You always used to come down into Sharon at Lakeville, and yes, there would be toilet paper in the streams, toilet paper. But like I said, those were the teenagers when you were really young. Every place, it's like in Lakeville. You have those certain streets that you can go out and
And that's my street. So yeah. If you children are out there trying to decide if you're trick or treating, I have a lot of candy. And sorry, Judy, I didn't buy toys, but we're ready for you. Come on down.
So remember, Cornwall's trick or treating is tomorrow night. Great Barrington and Sheffield on Saturday. Those are the only ones that have postponed that we know of to this date. So, and the Kent, yes, the Michael Jackson, that is going on, rain or shine.
Because there's zombies.
Yeah, there's zombies.
Zombies are not weather dependent.
All right, nice story by Willie Yan. The wrap-up story on Steve Blass retiring after 60 years with the Pirates.
It took us a while to get the story because, of course, Steve retired a few weeks ago. But we were so proud to have Willie Yan be the person who wrote and researched this story because Willie, of course, is a local kid. He went to Housatonic Valley Regional High School, which is where Steve Blass went to. And Willie has gone on to be a professional ball player himself and is spending the off-season with us at the Lakeville Journal. We're so happy to have him. And so he did a nice interview with Steve and with Steve's son, Dusty, who has D-Blast Excavating, and got photos from Champ Parati of Mary and Ed Kirby. And Ed Kirby was, of course, instrumental in getting Steve Blast started as a professional ball player. A very famous ball player, World Series pitcher, but also created something called Steve Blast Syndrome, which is named after him, or what Willie calls the yips. So this is a great story, but also look for, in our next week's issue, a story from Willie as a pro ball player about what it was like to grow up in the shadow of Steve Blass and what it was like to actually speak to him. And again, he's got a nice interview with Steve.
Steve is just a hell of a guy. Yeah, never forgot his roots, never.
Yeah.
I love the picture, Splish Splash, the swim team, the pumpkin run in Kent.
I don't know if those runners knew that there was going to be rain on the day of the Kent pumpkin run, which was Sunday, but they were the most prepared of anybody. They had on their swim tubes in a very heavy rain day, and they had a pretty good turnout for that race in spite of the weather.
They normally get 800 to 1,000, and they got a little over 400. And to bring out 400 on that day,
right,
where the temperature was about 52, and it was just
soggy.
God bless them. Amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing.
A lot of them in costume. And the little kids came out and did the kids' run. So we have results. And Lance Christensen, who took these great photos, is very sporty, and he has actually run the race several times, and so he describes in beautiful detail what it's like to follow that course. It's very interesting.
All right. Patrick Sullivan has the story of the Wall of Honor, which after my run for school board, I will never, ever be on.
You don't know. The Che Guevara wing of Housatonic Valley Regional High School.
They'll put something in the bathroom for me. But anyways, it's nice.
Everybody goes to the bathroom.
It's nice. Other than athletes, it's nice to see people that mean something important to Housatonic be honored. It really is.
Right. And they're hoping that people will come out on Sunday, November 3rd at 1 p.m. at the high school, and they're inducting a new class. And it's people that, you know, that we all know from around here. It's people like Bunny McGuire and Pat McCara, who Champ Parati. So a lot of people that you know. So please do come out and honor them and support them.
All right. And Patrick Sullivan's got a big story on the front page, government waging war against rising drug costs.
So this is a big deal. And Attorney General William Tong not only has taken this on, which is a big job, in partnership with other attorneys general from across the country, but even took the time to come to North Canaan and explain to Northwest Corner residents what's going on. And, of course, they did it on a Tuesday at 11, which is, you know, a normal work day for them, but not a time when a lot of people could have made it on their own. So Patrick did a great job of explaining exactly what this is, and thanks to Maria Horn for hosting that and being there with Governor with Attorney General Tong and keeping an eye on what's going on. Essentially, it's an accusation that's very strong and very well researched of collusion among the drug companies who are not being covered with glory this year.
All right, and the Girls Rock After School group visited the Lakeville Journal.
That was such a nice, bright point in our week. My next-door neighbor, Lenore Mallett, whose family had been in – Lenore is from Kingston, but she and her family had lived in Singapore for a couple years and went to the other extreme, which is they've moved to Lakeville now and are living on my corner. And I will also say they are super prepared for Halloween, so do come by Lakeview Avenue. But she started an after-school group for all these days when there are teacher conferences, and they call it Girls Rock, and they're going around to companies that are strongly female-dominated, which, of course, the Lakeville Journal – has a very large percentage of the staff is female. And we gave them a little tour of the building, which, of course, is less fun than back in the days when we had the printing press on the plant. Now it's just our tiny little ranch house-style building on Route 7. But they had a great time and were super well-behaved, and we let them make their own newspapers. And when we get to the letters page, you'll see that one of the girls, Eloise Mallett, revealed that she is a writer. And we have her first column.
All right. Tim Abbott with Nature's Notebook.
Tim is so lyrical and beautiful when he describes the season. And you'll notice there are a lot of changes in this issue that are reflective of your responses to the survey. And one of them was to take the columns off the front page. And so the only column that we have on the front page, of course, is Nature's Notebook. So we're trying it out on A2. Like, this is a week of experimentation for us and sort of trying to implement some of the things that people have requested, and we'll just see how it goes. But do keep answering the survey. It is online for all the people who said it should be online. It is online. Go to the red box at the top of the page. And just to segue a little bit, we are going to be doing a new membership pitch, a different model for funding the newspaper coming out, I think this week, possibly next week. We have a couple things to still hammer down. We are still going. We're still trying very hard to keep the paper alive. We have heard through the surveys that it's important to you, and we want to find a way to make it work. So keep an eye out for that. But we are trying to listen to what you've said, and we're doing our best to make it reflected on the pages of the paper.
All right. We move on to the page A3, the Salisbury page, talking about the elections, three candidates for 2 P&Z seats, and also I like the picture of Trick or Cupcake.
I'm going to do a profile of the guy in that photo. His name is PJ, and he teaches Zumba at both Gear and Noble. And, of course, both Gear and Noble have younger people who are coming in and out. Like, PJ teaches at the Gear Y. That guy has got so much spirit and so much energy. It's exhausting just to stand outside the door of his class. And to be teaching a class like that, that requires a lot of concentration and memory and a lot of vigor at two retirement villages, I think that is worthy of a profile. So we don't have a ton of candidate profiles. We had some candidate events. We had last week, we had Kent. We did the debate there. This week, Planning and Zoning Commission, there are three people running for two seats, three people who are incredibly experienced and care a lot. And they had asked me to do a profile of three of them. So that's what that is. It's Michael Clemens, who's running on the Democratic line, Peter Oliver, who was drafted to run on the Republican line, and my neighbor Bobby Riva, who is also ready for Halloween, and he's running as petitioning. So find out what the three of them have to offer and what their point of view is. But also Michael Clemens, who's currently the chairman of Planning and Zoning, has some very interesting things to say about how we are as a region. And I'll say, you'll notice on this page, this is the Salisbury page. We have been doing regional town pages, and we felt that more and more the region, our six towns of the Region 1 school district, is moving toward a regionalized pattern. The population is shrinking. The schools may have to consolidate. We're talking a lot about middle school sport consolidation. We were a little surprised and disappointed that people were adamant that they don't want to read about the other towns. So we're going back to try out the town page model. But Michael does talk here in this article about how people here really have to start looking at the way that we are today and not the way that they remember it being or the way that they wishful thinking it was. For instance, as we talk about Halloween, you may think it was just so pastoral and beautiful, but as Marshall and I know, it was tough here sometimes and not really about like cute little kids running up and down the street. There was a lot of vandalism and hoodlumism, and you know, let's think.
Instead of having the state police cover the whole area, town constables were in each town, by the way, were out because there was a lot of hijinks that went on. So.
And in fact, Falls Village, which has on its ballot coming up for the November 5th election, they have, I think, 7 constables, and they're specifically signed up just for Halloween. And Sharon actually, which tends to get, you know, having lived here on the Green, Sharon does get a little rowdy on Halloween. Sharon always has constables and a couple state troopers out because I would imagine they're not that needed today. But
great story on Charlie Bell, a 10,000-mile run around the country.
Charlie Bell, who looks like Bill Gates and has a story of Forrest Gump. Really interesting guy, really nicely done by Leela Hawken. And so he's just retired from teaching at the Hotchkiss School, and now it can be told. I guess he's working on his memoir of that epic run across the United States and started in the southern states, made his way around the perimeter of the country, and he said he kept getting stopped because people were having so much fun with him that they would be like, oh, just stay for one more day. So, of course, he ended up in Maine. It was still snowing as he finished up his run, but he did it. So find out all about it, not only in Leela's article, but in the upcoming book that I guess he's writing.
All right. Interesting story on the Sharon Falls Village page about the Falls Village Inn and the empty firehouse.
It's very subtle, this story. And the Falls Village Inn, which has been there for many, many years, and legend has it that it was a bordello. And when you went upstairs and you looked at the rooms, apparently you could tell by the way that the rooms were designed that they were designed for quick visits and has had many different personalities. And now it's so beautifully designed by Bunny Williams and has that wonderful restaurant with Monday Night Burger Night. So definitely a great addition to the town of Falls Village. And they own an itsy-bitsy little piece of the building next door, which used to be the firehouse before the new beautiful emergency center was built on Route 7. So the town would like to sell the old firehouse. They have a couple people potentially interested in buying it. And the inn, of course, which is next door, had a couple requests. And you know that the alarm still goes off at the inn, at the firehouse, which is not a super popular feature with their guests. So they have a couple requests. And some of the neighboring businesses and property owners are objecting to their objections and indicating that they might actually be interested in buying the firehouse, but not with the conditions that the inn has put on it. So a complicated, interesting little story.
And Aquarian could be acquiring the Falls Village Water Company.
And this is happening across the state. Yeah. And part of the impetus for this is they're going to be putting in stricter new rules on regulation of water and purity. And towns are going to have to be chlorinated. And I think, Marshall, correct me if I'm wrong, is that not what Dr. Strangelove was about?
Basically.
Yeah, chlorinating your water. So but there's going to be a town meeting, and if you look at the bottom of the page, the town meeting is going to be November 13th. You can find out what that meeting is going to be about. Also, so this is the combined Sharon Falls Village page, and I'll say we're not going to be able to do individual pages for all the towns. We're going to try and shift it around depending on, you know, on any given week, one or the other town is going to be more busy. Yeah. So this week we have a combined Sharon and Falls Village page. You're going to have to still search around a little bit, but we're trying to break it up. So half the page is Sharon, half the page is Falls Village. Every town has a listing, a small box, just sort of saying, the election's November 5th, next Tuesday. Here are the contested seats. It's very hard to read the ballots. They're set up in a way that's very confusing. And as Linda Amerigi, the Sharon Town Clerk, would say, you can't game it. You can't figure out who to vote for so that the trickle down works in the favor of your party. You can only just choose the person you think is best and vote for them. But we do have a breakdown of what seats are contested. There's not a ton of contested seats coming up in this election.
All right. There's a forum on internet access on November 17th in Sharon.
Right, which is a big issue. And also I've been interviewing Kim Maxwell, who is a Norfolk resident who is the big expert on fiber optic and 5G, and he's working with Northwest Connect, going around from town to town to town to try to say the secret to doing this is going to have to be each individual town is going to have its own municipal fiber optic. They're going to have to, like, the towns are essentially going to have to tax each individual household, and they're going to have to wire up the street, and then the property owners will have to run the wires into their house from the fiber optic line. It's super complicated. I'm trying to learn about it. I'm talking to Kim, who's now in San Francisco for the winter, and we'll hopefully get a story out on that this week or by next week.
Now, on Cornwall page, there's a picture of Maria Horn along with Gordon Ridgway. Same problem in most of the towns here. They were showing off their renovations at the firehouse, and they need more volunteers. And if you watch TV at all, you'll see in Connecticut, There's ads being run for people to volunteer for their local fire departments.
And this is a big deal for everybody in all of our towns, and in Cornwall especially, which is very sprawling and has, as Sharon does, two different firehouses to try and serve the different very rural areas of the town. Nice fit photo of father and son Gordon Ridgway in one photo with Maria and his son Ian with an adorable dog. But if we are not able to raise our own volunteer fire departments, the towns will have to hire firefighters, and that is going to be an enormous expense. And you're going to have to deal with trying to attract firemen to come live in this very rural area, which is not astonishingly attractive to a lot of people, because at least they would have jobs, but it's going to be a tricky thing. There are lots of, as the article explains, there are lots of different jobs that you can do in a fire company today. You don't have to run into a burning building. You can do paperwork and you can do accounting, things that maybe firefighters actually don't love to do but that you'd be good at. So find out all about what you can do. Call your local firefighting organization, or do read this article and see what's available for you to do.
The North Canaan Kent page, you go from the original Jubilee in North Canaan to the Crafts and Maker Benefit Baker Sale in Kent.
We do feel that people like to read about these little local things. It's not just all news. Adorable thing going on in North Canaan. Also, if you look on every town page, we have information about the Veterans Day services, which are complicated because sometimes they're at the schools, which of course are closed on Veterans Day. Sometimes they're actually out at monuments. If you go to the Cornwall page, they're doing a Civil War plaque. But if you're a veteran, please do call your local school or town hall if you see on our listings that they're doing an event, or just show up because they do want to honor you. But also, townspeople do come out and honor our veterans and make them feel like you're glad that they served.
Let's go to the opinion page, because the editorial, once again, the unique qualities of very local journalism.
So it's interesting in the surveys that we're getting back where people will say things like, you should do a story on Cricket Valley. Did you know they're putting a power plant down in Cricket Valley, a Dover plant? So Janet's pointing out, we do a lot of deep dive journalism, even though we have a very small staff. It's essentially me and Patrick Sullivan and Leela Hawken. We have a lot of freelancers who we're so pleased to have. But we do a lot of research for a small newspaper. All of our news is original. We don't pick up from the wires. We try, even though people want to see press releases, we do try to have original research news. And we are at this moment where we're looking for a new model for funding. As I said, we'll be coming out with this membership pitch in the next week or two. But Janet is reminding readers, we do a lot, and we hope you appreciate it, and we hope it's useful to you. But let us know.
All right. And I always like to hit back, turning back the pages once again. Orhill, Harry and William Dean were in Mount Riga.
Yeah.
Deep.
Yeah, and I think that people love that. A lot of people have said in our survey, they come up here, and actually Michael Clemens talks about this in our interviews. People have this dream. They want to come up here and have it be idyllic and bucolic and the way that they want it to be. And turning back the pages to a large degree fuels that. But if you go back and read our back issues, it's all online. It's so fascinating the way that our communities were and the things that were important to them. And we're going to try, because we have those archival pages, we're going to try and run them in the paper from time to time, so that, for instance, for Thanksgiving, we're planning to run a Thanksgiving page from, I think, 1957. So just to sort of, and not when about kids breaking windows at the library, but just to really kind of say, we appreciate the continuum here.
And lots of letters to the editor on the elections.
Right. A lot of people, for the very few seats that are contested. And there's some complicated ones. Like there's a very qualified person who's a write-in in Salisbury. She wasn't endorsed by either party. A little explanation of that in there. And, of course, David Wilburn running for Board of Finance. Incredibly interesting background, and then letters about this the Planning and Zoning Commission, and again read our interviews with the three candidates, and then the adorable column from my next door neighbor Eloise Mallett, who is a student at Salisbury Central School, really a very sophisticated little blog about what it's like to go from living in Singapore to living in Lakeville.
All right, looking at the middle school sports plan, which is on page A10.
This is a huge big deal for the region. We're going to try and run the listing of all the dates when Ann McNeil is speaking. She's giving presentations for all the boards of eds. Lots of parents came out to the Kent meeting on Monday night. Again, we have Willie Yon, who has a very informed perspective on sports in the area, writing about Ann McNeil's presentation. It may or may not succeed, but definitely, if you have a kid who's athletic and you're interested in having that child participate in sports, you need to come and hear Ann's presentation and find out what's exactly going on. So please be informed when you speak to your Board of Ed representatives, who will then take it on to be voted on.
All right, we have a couple minutes left, and I want to go on to Compass, because you've got two or three interesting stories in here.
Always interesting stories in Compass. And Tilly Strauss has written about Selena Blagden, who is curating the town hall shows, which was, they've started out small and, you know, sort of had just local people. And Selena's put together a very sophisticated show that's up through the end of November. Sharon really is a very much of an art town. There's a lot of galleries here, but all kind of small and tucked away and interesting. And Selena is doing a beautiful job of getting interesting people and really interesting monumental works of art. So when you go to vote at Town Hall, take a minute and go see the art. And then Alexander Wilburn, who had interviewed Andre Assaman, which I think is a great get for a small town newspaper, which a friend of mine in Massachusetts helped us arrange, interviewed him about Call Me By My Name, the very sort of almost a cult small paperback that then was made into a movie, a beautiful movie. And so his new book is out, and it's called Find Me. And Alex gives a very sort of impassioned, very deep, thoughtful review of what that book is about. And I'd like to point out that Showtime, which is Lloyd Baroudi and his wife Meha Zainho, have put together this group that's trying to find entertainment and culture for the winter months when we don't have as much theater. And they have seven one-act plays coming up on November 2nd at the Bach Gallery, the smaller building at the Sharon Playhouse. And they're winners of the New Milford Theater Works competition from 2019, and they should all be interesting. And do come out and support them, because it's nice to have something to do in winter.
All right. And, you know, Ken Musselman, you've got a little picture of Ken's. You can recognize Ken Musselman's paintings from a mile away.
He's done great work and is one of those stalwart Northwest Corner artists who just continues to be interesting to people.
All right. Now, so once again, if people want to take the online survey and they go to your website, they don't have to go through a paywall to take it there, do they?
Correct. It's open to everyone, and a lot of people are having trouble finding it, and it's in a dark little red box at the top of the page. And if you click on that, then there's the long article explaining why we're doing this. And then if you want to go to the Lakeville Journal survey, it's on the bottom right, and then the Millerton News survey is also there. You can click and fill out both if you read both papers.
Because I've told several people that they were worried that there's a paywall, and it's paywalls only if you want to subscribe to the paper and get the paper digitally along with anything like this or a major story is always clickable.
In front of the paywall, and also all of the obituaries, because we know that that's a huge service in the community.
And that web address is tricordernews.com. We're also on Facebook. Is the survey up on Facebook or anything like that? Link to it?
I don't know.
Maybe you might
believe it. I think it is up there, but you know what? I'm 99% sure, but my brain is shot.
Okay, so you'll find Lakeville Journal on the web, on Facebook, and also Instagram. And Cynthia, we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you so much.
All right, take care. That is, of course, this week in the Lakeville Journal. And once again, tricornernews.com. They're on Facebook and also on Instagram.